This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 12th, episode 1541. Good morning, horse world.
It's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Yabba-dabba-do!
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
Well, there's no doubt about it. We are definitely here on Wednesday.
Yeah. It's, what day is it? Wednesday.
I'm not sure. So you had got to meet one of your fellow hosts yesterday from the Horse Radio Network. Dr. Wendy and Dr. Kyle stopped out.
I did get to meet them, and I like I said, I feel like I already know them. And when they show up here, you know, Wendy is just such a tornado of awesome spirit. And when she got here, it's like, I'm sure we've met. Glenn, I'm sure we've met. What a sweet lady. And Kyle is just awesome. And they were, they came and they came over. I was riding Thor when they got here, teaching a lesson. So we wrapped that up, and they came into the back and hung out, and we
went
inside.
Did she hold every chicken?
No, we didn't do much chicken holding. Oh, okay. They took photographs, pictures of everything, but it was Lucky was the star of the show. I mean, let's be real. But then they left. They said they didn't stay too long, and there are not many people that understay their welcome in my world.
Usually Wendy didn't stay for a week.
No, she didn't stay long enough. It was they were here about an hour, and then they had to go. They were trying to fit in, I think, visiting 25 people in one day. And like I said, there are very few people that understay their welcome at my house. So I was like, "You're leaving already?" Usually I'm like, "Oh my God, when are they going to leave?" Like you, when you came.
Yeah, I know. You were ready to get rid of us when we left.
How many days are you here for? Jeez. So it was really nice to meet them. And what they're super fun. Like you said, you could tell by listening to her that you'd like her. You know, Yes. Just listening to her shows. So all the listeners that love Wendy more than me, I get it now. I get it.
Yeah, she's one of those people that you're instantly friends with her.
Yeah.
Even if you never met her.
Absolutely.
And she's that way with everybody, too. I mean, she really is. And Dr. Kyle's so nice. He's just a super nice guy. I like hanging out with him when we go down and visit. We do go down and stay for a couple days at a time. We might even go down at Thanksgiving to their house.
I think it's weird, though, when people that are at my house know more about horses than I do, which is weird. Like, you know, I mean, I teach at my place. I'm always explaining things. And she's like a professional driver and a veterinarian. And I was like, oh, well, you already know that. it's weird to have somebody, you know, like I was like, oh, I think Lucky's got some allergies. She's like, well, you can cook for him. And that, and I was like, oh, that's.
And you said, I don't cook for anybody.
I cook for too many. But anyway, she's just.
And she does. She cooks for Tamika. That's her older Jack Russell, and she cooks for Tamika all the time.
Well, she had me cooking for my last Basset Hound. So
Right. Yeah, when your last Basset Hound was old and getting up there in years. I remember that.
Yeah. Poor
and she has these hot foods and cold foods, and you have to cook certain things with certain ways and certain vegetables. And I was like, sheesh.
put more into cooking for your dog than you do your family.
Yes. So. And she's a good cook, though, actually. Dr. Wendy is a good cook. We've been down there several times when she's made dinner and stuff, and she's a very good cook. She gets that from her mama, I think.
Well, it was really nice of them to come out and see me. I do appreciate the short time that I got to hang out with them. It was awesome. And they're coming back in November, potentially, so I told her she better bring her riding boots.
There you go. ride a Mustang. And
show up at my house in flip-flops. What are you doing?
And if you can ever get an extra day when you're visiting in maybe Orlando or somewhere in Florida, head down to Sarasota and spend a day down there. Her place is really cool. She has a neat place, and Sarasota is so pretty. If we were going to move anywhere else out of Ocala in Florida, I'd move to the Sarasota area.
Yeah.
We really like that area. Well, Jennifer, are you there? Are you awake?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Okay. What's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's, I'm way too weary for it to be just Wednesday. We'll start out with some barn cat talk, and that's compliments of Peggy Anderson from barncats.org. And then next up, Dr. Barrett from Haggard Equine is going to explain recuperative care, complete with many, many, many multi-syllable words. And rounding out our gallop through the equinosphere, the velvet voice of Victoria Spicer has the latest headlines from the Horse and Country TV. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
You know how hard it was for me not to pick a certain song to play on today's show because Marianne Kennedy has the show, song called Barn Cats, but I thought that Jamie would quit if I played it. So
You can play it. I'm just going to go take a potty break when that happens.
Okay. Well, you know,
I think everybody should appreciate Marianne Kennedy as much as they can.
This is one of the songs you particularly hated, too.
This is a tough one. This is a tough one. Not gonna lie. But you know what? Let's all get your own opinion on it. We'll see. We'll take a poll.
All right. I'll dig out Barn Cats and we'll play that for the
Marianne
song.
Marianne Kennedy
today.
Is a lovely woman. I just don't particularly warm to a lot of her songs. So it's particularly warm. See how gentle I was?
Yes, you were. Very, very good.
I'm in
good.
A soft mood today.
Very good. But, you know, we have a lot of listeners that love her songs. So, I mean, it's just different tastes.
Well, everybody has bad taste for something.
Hey, speaking of which, before we go on, I've been meaning to ask you this. The new voice, how do you like the new lineup?
Okay, so I didn't think that I would like Miley Cyrus.
That's what I was wondering about.
Until last night's episode. Did you see last night?
No.
Okay, so she has to cut somebody. And she was like, but I love them both. And she starts crying. And she's crying because she had to let one of them go. And she's like, she's talking kind of just to the judges. And she's like, I'm too soft for this. I can't do it. I'm supposed to be tough. Did Gwen cry? And she asked Blake. Blake goes, Gwen cried every day. Every day. Like, because I cry in that show all the time. The guy's like, gets cut. He's like, well, I guess I'm going to go spend some more time with my kids, my family. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm like, oh, what? Bring him back. Somebody hit the buzzer. Steal him. Sorry, that's a really, like, random thing we just started.
I know, but I had to ask you. I hadn't had a chance to ask you about the voice yet this year.
I love Alicia Keys. And the fact that she wears no makeup, if you notice that, she doesn't wear makeup.
Yeah, no, she doesn't. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
She's amazing and fabulous.
There you go. Well, there's your voice report for this year. We promise not to talk about it too much. Well, my daily Winnie goes out to Cecilia Berger and everybody. Well, she's one of our listeners and auditors and everyone who's dealing with the cleanup after Matthew. I saw some of the pictures this morning where Cecilia, I reposted her pictures. Hope you didn't mind, Cecilia. She had bugged out with her horses and had helped like 30 other horses evacuate with many, many trips out of the area. She finally got home yesterday. And if you go to our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, you'll see what she got home to. And her comment is, no one will ever convince me that my horses or myself should have been here for this storm. This is only a sliver of the destruction. If anyone thinks we're sipping mint juleps, the fun ended and the storm passed, they need to come back and take a look at these pictures. They have a lot of cleanup to do. I saw some pictures of A1A and Route 1 in some of the places where it's completely sand covered. You couldn't see the road at all.
Really?
And then the iconic, and I cannot believe you lived in Georgia, don't know about this, south of the border, anybody that's driven down Route 95 from north to south, from the northeast to Florida, that made that trip down 95 knows what south of the border is. And south of the border, South Carolina, which is the cheesiest tourist trap in the world. And they had 100 billboards each direction, and it was all about Pedro and stopping in to see south of the border. And it made it sound like it was this wonderful tourist destination. And you'd get there, and it was just creepy. So there were pictures of that completely underwater. I mean, the whole thing. And this is, that must be where part of where 95 was closed, because it was just a mess. I mean, and like Cecilia's house, she has these huge trees, just huge trees that are 3 feet across that snapped at the base and just everywhere. I just feel for all the people who are cleaning up, and there's nothing worse than cleaning up after flooding, that sludge and ugh.
My brother's house in St. Augustine, he lost his home.
Did he?
Yeah, it's gone. And he went in to get his things. You know, the main thing that they dealt with was flooding. He walked into his house to get his things, and his septic had come up out of everything, and he couldn't even get anything out of the house. It was so bad. It was so bad. So,
was
I mean,
an apartment or his own house? He owned a house.
He rented a home that was like kind of a duplex area, and they were 100 years old. You know, I'm in St. Augustine. Everything is really old, and so it's still standing. It's just it flooded, and all the septic backed up into the flooding. So it was like, you know, 3 feet of.
It's just rainwater. 3 feet of gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So. Well, I'm sorry to hear that about, you know, and a lot of people who rent don't have renter's insurance for their stuff. And it's one of those things, you know, I've come to think about it. I'm not sure we do right now. It's just when you rent, you don't think about that. I just never think about it. And yet you'll lose, if that happens, then you have no way to replace your stuff. So, I'm sorry to hear that about your brother.
Thanks. Let's move on. Daily Winnie for me.
Daily Winnie.
Okay, so do you remember that video of that horse? It went so unbelievably viral. It's the horse trotting up to a ditch, and then the rider is like trying to get over a ditch, and then it leaps the ditch, but leaps it like from a standstill, 6 feet in the air, and then lands kind of in a heap on the other side. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Yep.
Okay. So that was like the second time it had ever been taken up to a ditch. It's an event horse, and his name is Commando, and he became an internet sensation after that. But his rider, Rose Agard, who bought him as a yearling, actually is competing in the Future Event Horse Championships at Fair Hill this weekend, qualified for the championships with him. I'm assuming he jumps ditches a little bit better.
<Let's> hope.
But there, isn't it cool? Like, you have something like that and you just stick with it and you give it hell and then you make yourself to the championships. So at that championship, it's the Young Event Horse Championships at Fair Hill. It takes place October 13th and 14th during Fair Hill International. So it's just one of the divisions there. And I just thought it was neat to kind of find that story and follow up with it, that this girl stuck it out with that pretty tough, seemed tough, but she said he's got a puppy dog personality and he just likes being playful and goofy. And she really went into a lot of detail on, it's an article for useventing.com. And she went into a lot of detail on how she picked him out and was searching out sires and dams. And they've just been, you know, he's only been under saddle a year and a half. He's come such a long way. And it's just really cool story about somebody sticking with it and going for it. So really, really cool. And we wish her the best of luck.
Hey, and if you're in that area, is it this weekend, Fair Hill?
Yes. Oh, yeah. This tomorrow.
Yeah, if you're in that area, go see Fair, and you haven't seen the Fair Hill event, go see it. It's a beautiful place. First of all, Fair Hill is a huge park. I mean, huge. And it is a fun place to go watch. You can walk around the cross country jumps. They have a neat water complex there. We used to go every year and watch Fair Hill International. And they used to, I don't know if they do anymore, they used to have a dog agility show at the same time.
Oh, really?
So there'd be a million dogs, and it was fun to go watch the dog agility show. Years ago, what they used to do at Fair Hill was they had a carriage driving a CDE at the same time as the eventing. So what would happen is the carriages would go out in the morning and do all of their obstacles, and then before they were even done, then the event riders would start. So you'd have the event riders and the carriages all out on the cross-country courses at the same time.
Wow.
And that was kind of fun to watch. They stopped doing that, and part of the reason I heard was the event horses weren't having such a great time with the carriages
no.
around.
I'm shocked.
So they had one of the things I will never forget this, and Jennifer remember this too, because you'd have four in hand carriages out there doing these wild CDEs, and I think it was a 3-star, so it was a pretty high level. But they were on the side of this hill that was right above the water jump where the riders would go through. So you had to water jump down below, and then the side of this hill that was at a pretty steep angle, and up in the middle of the side of that hill was one of the obstacles for the marathon. So you'd be watching.
Think driving a carriage down the hill that they rode in Man from Snowy River.
Yes.
It was like that.
With a four in hand, and then making turns in and out of these obstacles halfway down the side of the hill while you're watching riders come through the water, and you just didn't know where to look. I mean, it was the craziest thing seeing those carriages do the side of that mountain. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was nuts. So if you get a chance to go out to Fair Hill, they don't do the carriages at the same time anymore, but I think they still do the dog agility, which was kind of fun to watch too. And visit one of our big sponsors over in the Eventing Radio Show, Bit of Britain, always sends up a huge tent over there.
Oh my gosh. That's enough to make me go right there to have a big Bit of Britain tent. But oh my gosh, I can't imagine. I'm thinking back to my days of Jet, my event horse who, gosh, what?
Your event horse turned show hunter?
My event horse turned show hunter. But before he was even an event horse, he was what you would call a nightmare. And I was going to stick with this horse until I could get him trained, and I did. But oh my gosh, we at Galway Downs, they have a racetrack, and they were breaking horses out of the gate right next to the show jumping. And of course, my horse has like PTSD flashbacks during that whole thing. I cannot imagine him having a carriage gallop by, a four in hand, doing circles or something. Oh my gosh, I'd be dead. I would die. I would just get off and let him go. Just go wherever you will. Take care of my saddle.
Which in Fairhill is about 1,000 acres, so he had a lot of places to go too.
He'd be fine. He'd be fine. Just go and live out your life. I cannot lead you back to the barn, and I cannot stay on you right now. So just be free.
Well, you know, there is somebody in our lives, a creature in our lives that is one of the biggest, hardest workers in the barn. It's not your horse, and it's not you. But you know what? We sometimes overlook them, the job they do for us, because we just take it for granted, and that is our barn cat. We have Peggy here, who is from barncats.org. Good morning,
barn
Peggy.
Barn Cats Anonymous? Is that
yeah, Barn Cats Anonymous. Good morning. Yes.
Same thing.
Hi, Peggy.
It's actually Barn Cats Incorporated.
Oh, great. Barn Cats. I didn't know there was a Barn Cats Incorporated until I saw this morning. But, you know, when you think about it, they are the hardest workers in our barn, right? They're always on patrol.
Absolutely. All you have to do is give them a little food and water and a place to hang out in the winter, and they'll do their job for you.
And most of the barn cats don't want to come in your house, which I always viewed as a blessing. So, because they just want to be out. That's where they belong. They belong in the barn. They know their job, and their job, they take it very seriously, a lot of them. And then you have the barn cats that are pretty much just riding the wave and could care less about mice. So you do have those two levels of barn cats.
Freeloading barn cats.
Freeloading barn cats. That's right. Now,
every project needs a supervisor.
Oh, that's true. So, I forgot about the white hats. That's right. So tell us about Barn Cats Incorporated. What is it? What do you guys do?
Sure. We take feral cats off the street in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Various groups or individuals trap them and get them spayed and neutered, etc. And then they bring them to us based on space available. Then people in a 37 North Texas county area call us and want cats for their barns for exactly what you're talking about. They've got a rat problem, a rodent problem, and if you have rats or mice, you're going to have snakes, at least in Texas. So people ask for the cats. We make arrangements then to take them out to the property. We put them in a cage for a 2-week period to get acclimated. These are nice cages, so they have lots of room to move around. Then at the two-week period, they release them. They agree to provide food and water for them after release, and we provide it, of course, during the time that they're caged. But then they're released, and then at 3 weeks, we go back and get our equipment, and hopefully the cats stay on property and take care of business for the barn owner.
This is so cool. I didn't know there was something like this, but it is needed now. And the way you guys do it is so thoughtful. That's so cool, too. Now, one of the misconceptions that I've heard is people say, well, they're catching mice. I don't need to feed them. I was always told that if you actually feed a barn cat, they're going to do a better job of catching mice. So what's the ultimate story?
Actually, you need to provide food and water for them because they're going to stay where there's a permanent food source. The cats are used to being fed by people, so that just kind of prolongs that. But then they catch the mice as a game. You know, they're out there chasing these things and having a great time and leaving you presents.
Right, yeah, that's
true.
You
know, parts is part.
Yeah, exactly.
They seem to really like heads, you know. I guess they crunch. I don't know.
I don't know either. Ugh, it's the crunchy
gross
bits. But that you're right. They eat the heads and then leave everything else right there where for you to step on when you're not paying attention.
There you go.
Yeah. Exactly.
I but had a cat leave a present for me in my bed in high school.
Oh, no.
A headless present. So it just really just, I just got a little shocky when you started talking about that. Right back there.
And a lot of times they'll leave it outside the door of the house when you get up in the morning. You'll open the door and there's
good morning.
There, yeah. Look what I brought.
Yes, they do that. But you know they're proud of what they've been doing for you. They got to show you.
That's right. They're
all
working
right,
hard.
I have a question. You're a barn cat expert. How the hell do you keep the barn cats from jumping on your saddle when they're on the rack?
Oh goodness! I would keep your saddles covered. How's that?
In other words, you're not keeping them from jumping
Thanks
on your saddle.
Yeah, you know, you most people, at least has been my experience, and I've been doing this 15 years, that the tack rooms are where they've got the saddles, but they've also usually keeping the feed. And if the feed is in there, then you're going to have the rodent build up, and so then you want the cats in your tack room. But, you know, it kind of depends on each individual situation. But these cats, you want them to have claws and everything else so that they'll, you know, can climb and get away from predators, but also so they can catch more mice with it. So the saddles, you just got to be smarter than the cats and keep them all covered up.
Gotcha.
Now, so, you have an interesting policy on your website. I was reading through the website, and that is you don't take kittens.
Correct.
And I loved the reasons why you don't, but kind of explain why you don't take kittens.
Absolutely. We take cats, adult cats, 8 months and older. That's after they've been spayed and neutered. And also, we recommend that all of our cats have been tested negative for feline leukemia. Leukemia is a contagious disease in cats and is only transmitted through cats, but it is contagious. But kittens... kittens can be carried off by a hawk in the daytime or an owl at night. Both of those are looking for live things to eat, and the kittens become prey. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So you're
like the cats older and bigger.
Well, and kittens usually find homes easier too, right? I mean, people will adopt kittens long before they're adopting adult cats.
Exactly. Except. If you work with a feral colony, you may have feral kittens. Mm. And if the kittens are, if they're 3 months or younger and you work with them, they'll turn and be domesticated. And then, yes, they can get a safe indoor home. But if they're older than 3 months, for the most part, they are not going to turn and be domesticated. And then you got kind of a gray area between 3 months and 8 months before we would take them.
Now, do you guys, I mean, I assume that you're full all the time. Is the cat problem still a big cat problem?
Absolutely. We are more than full all the time. And unfortunately, I cannot take all the cats, you know, the calls that I receive. And occasionally, or more than occasionally, you know, there are those hoarders out there. And oftentimes the hoarders are, the cats inside the hoarder house are non-domesticated, you know, so then it becomes an issue. But yeah, we have placed, over 15 years, we've placed 6,867 cats.
Wow.
In 37 North Texas counties and 5 Oklahoma counties.
Wow, that's a lot of cats.
It's a lot of cats. I had no idea this was such a big problem when I started this. Oh, my.
So now, does everybody call you the crazy cat lady? Do you have? Are you the brunt of all the jokes now?
I do have the official hat. So there.
How many do you have?
Personally, I have about 4 or 5.
Oh,
they're all getting older.
You're
because
good.
Because I am, too.
You're nothing. That's nothing. You're okay.
But in the house, because the shelter for the feral cats is in 2 rooms of my house.
Oh,
and there are
18
cages.
Here we go.
Now. There are 18 cages.
7 yeah. cats a and cage. Just kidding.
Usually one cat per cage. If they come in as sisters or brothers or mother daughter or something, we might put them together. But they're in cages because it's easier to move them that way. And the cages are Great Dane size cages, and everybody has a feeder and a water and a litter box and what we call a Heidi box, which is a small cat carrier. And we bungee the door open to the cat carrier. And when the cat comes in, usually in a trap, they go into the cage, they run into the Heidi box, and they feel safe in there. So then the cage can be cleaned easily. And then when we go out to the barns, same thing. We reach in and close the door to that carrier, pick it up, and it goes to the barn.
Well,
so
I just wanted to say what you're doing is so important because it is an issue.
Well,
and we have we've looked for cats, and it's not always easy to find a barn cat either. You know, you'd think that would be easier than it actually is. People end up looking at Craigslist and stuff. And I like the fact that yours are spayed and neutered. And, you know, that's going to hopefully help solve the problem down the line. But I didn't know this existed. It's barncats.org. If you're in the Texas area, we have a lot of listeners over that area, and you need a barn cat. You know where to go now to get your barn cats. And do they get to pick their barn cats, or do they just say, I am ordering 3 barn cats, and it's whatever shows up by UPS?
Not exactly UPS.
I know, I'm just kidding.
We have a nice van with 4-foot cats on the side of it.
Okay,
so,
the cat van.
It's good for advertising. But, you know, if you're the people call us, and I tell them what cats are available.
Okay.
And then some people want to, you know, say, okay, yeah, I'll take, you know, Johnny, the orange and white, and his sister, or whatever.
Okay.
You know, but usually they say, I will take 3, and we like to put them out in a group of 3, because occasionally one takes off.
Yeah, the attrition rate. You do have attrition. With barn cats.
There you go.
Yep.
And we have no control over that. Once they're released, it's up to God at that point. But then if we put out 3 and one takes off, then the other 2 have each other, you know, to pal around with, and they don't run off looking for a friend.
Right.
So, yeah. We also, you know, speaking of attrition, coyotes are a horrible problem in Texas and, you know, probably are in other parts of the country. But we encourage people to get a donkey or a llama or a Great Pyrenees dog, you know, to control the coyotes. And then we have references for all 3 within our documentation that we leave with the people. And we always leave them the rabies certificate, you know, and any other information we have about the cats so that they know what to when the shots need to be updated and that sort of thing.
Well, you're doing good work.
Thank you. Also, if people don't have a group that does some barning in their area, they can always go to a group that does trap, neuter, return, because they're dealing with feral cats. And oftentimes when their environment is being destroyed, and I'll take the example of putting up the new Cowboys Stadium several years ago, that displaced a whole lot of people in that area, and they moved off and left their cats and that sort of thing. But all the cats you know, you can often get cats from a trap, neuter, return group, and those groups are all over the country. Also, there is a list on barncats.org that is other barning groups, and it's that list is set up by state. So if you click on that from the top bar and look at the list, and you live in California, then there's a list of groups in California that do some barning, and you can contact them.
Very good. Thank you so much, Peggy. We appreciate you stopping by and talking about these hardworking critters. And it's barncats.org is the website. Check it out there. Thanks, Peggy.
Hey, you're very welcome. Thank you. You guys have a good day.
Thank you.
We don't have any barn cats right now, and our landlord is not real keen. He's not real keen on cats. His wife would love to have cats. We'd love to have barn cats, but we haven't gotten that across yet.
Yeah, his own military man, they don't get along with cats.
Cats.
Just like my husband.
That's true.
You don't want no cats. Once we lost the last cat, he's like, we're never getting a cat ever again. Because here, you want a barn cat, but 3 months out of the year, it has to live inside because it's too hot. So barn cat turned into house cat real quick here.
Yeah, and you know, here we have the problem with the hawks and a lot of hawks. So smaller cats, they just don't survive here. Plus, we do have we have the coyotes and foxes. We just have everything that seems to want to eat cats. So
yes.
You don't see a lot of outdoor cats in our neighborhood, and I think that from what we hear, that's why is the hawks have hearty appetites. I can't imagine a hawk taking on a cat, but I guess they do.
Smaller cats, I guess they grab chickens.
That's right.
Sure.
Well, it is that time.
Yes.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And we have Dr. Liz Barrett from Haggard's with us this morning. Hey, Dr. Barrett.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. How's everything in the beautiful bluegrass?
It's great. Things are starting to cool off, so it's actually perfect working weather. This is a great time of year to live in Kentucky.
And all the babies are already born, so you know, a major, you know, foaling emergencies going on right now, you would hope. So I guess is it weaning time now?
It is, and you'd be surprised to know that there's actually mares that are bred in the southern hemisphere that can be foaling out this time of year as well. So it's a much smaller population than we have, you know, kind of earlier in the year, but there is still always that risk that there could be a foaling emergency.
Oh, boy. Well, never mind then. Sorry. Well, we're going to talk a little bit on the latest in recuperative and regenerative therapies to help horses recover from soft tissue and other injuries. So what that means, guys, is fix your lame horse right here. Dr. Barrett is going to talk to us a little bit. Kind of run through what options there are, and then we'll break them down.
There's a lot of options. I think whenever you have a problem that we don't have a perfect answer to, that we don't know, you know, A, B, and C mixed together will, you know, make the horse sound, we have to come up with A through Z of possible options and kind of be able to run through those. I think the main ones on the market now, say if we're talking about either a tendon tear or arthritis in a joint, those issues, we have therapies that we can say inject into the area, which would be things like IRAP, PRP. There's a newer product called ProStride that's sort of a mix of the two. We still have our old standbys of kind of corticosteroids or hyaluronic acid that we can put into joints as well. And then the different adjunctive therapies that they mentioned, I guess, would be things like shockwave therapy, and all those other kind of different things, magnetic therapies and things like that that are that you see advertised kind of in any sort of horse magazine that you might pick up and read. A lot of those things will be advertised in there.
Okay, let me pick an injury here of probably one of my horses currently, and then tell me what you would do. So I've got a horse that has changes in his carpus and his knee. And he's got arthritis in there. I've had x-rays done. There's already some changes occurring. What do you recommend for a horse that has kind of arthritic changes that are creeping up pretty quick?
Yeah. So, again, there's a whole gamut of things that we can do depending on the severity and how far along it is and how long it's been a problem. You know, really early on, if there's like a chip or something in there, then we can recommend, you know, surgery, arthroscopic surgery to go in there and mm-hmm. remove that chip, and that can help slow down the arthritic process. Once we're past that, then we can either sort of treat that joint directly, or we can treat the horse systemically. So systemic things that we all sort of know about would be phenobarbital, Prevacox, Equiox, Adequan, absolutely, all those things, Legend, anything like that, that you can give the horse, you know, in the muscle or in the vein that sort of treats pain all over. And then the direct therapies, you know, that does include things like Surpass or diclofenac ointment that you put topically over the knee, and there's studies to show that that works quite well. And then we can medicate the joint directly. So you can start with kind of sort of the very basic things, which would just be hyaluronic acid. So you're just replacing some of the really healthy aspects of joint fluid to try mm-hmm. to make the joint fluid happier in there. Once you get arthritis, the joint fluid is full of kind of angry, inflammatory things, mediators, that just sort of start a cycle of making that joint painful. So the hyaluronic acid can help that. Kind of the old standby would be corticosteroids. So like the same as we put in a football player's elbow if they're feeling a bit of pain. And then, you know, kind of moving up on that scale, more current therapies are, for one, the IRAP, or interleukin receptor antagonist protein. And basically, and also this new ProStride product, which is sort of a mix of PRP, which is stands for platelet-rich plasma, and IRAP, like that's putting it very generally. But basically, any of those products, you take the horse's own blood, and you try to take their own anti-inflammatory products that are in their own blood, you know, that the body, when they hurt something, would normally send to that area to try to fix. We try to basically magnify them and multiply them so that we can get a really concentrated sample of the horse's own anti-inflammatories, which
is this like white blood
cells?
Should
work really well.
Plasma, or like you white, spit white it down and...
The plasma, so the platelet-rich plasma is something that you'd sort of spin out and centrifuge out just the platelets, and platelets have really strong anti-inflammatories. White blood cells actually can sort of help contribute to inflammation, so we try to reduce those as much as possible. They kind of go and clean up messes and get rid of infection, and when they do that, they actually cause a bit of inflammation. So, and then the IRAP, which it stands for interleukin receptor antagonist protein. It's actually a protein that goes in and binds to things that reduces the body's inflammation, or kind of stops it from this cycle of inflammation. And it's kind of an interesting system. You draw the blood into this big 60cc syringe that has glass beads in it. We call it the magic glass beads. And it's supposed to help, you know, increase the amount of IRAP that you get once you kind of spin it down and actually let it incubate for 24 hours. And the other ProStride machine, it's also centrifuge, so you spin the horse's own blood and you kind of add some powders to it, and it's a pretty interesting process as well. And these are all things that sort of come from human medicine that we then use in horses.
I just have this picture of an old scientist in a basement, and you're saying adding powders, and you know, and maybe the witch hat is sitting over to the side, and you know, I just have this picture in my mind.
That's like, Dr. Barrett.
Yeah,
it does feel a bit like that sometimes. It's not inexpensive. They're all fairly pricey treatment options. And to be totally honest with you, there's not necessarily a huge amount of research behind any of those therapies. Like you couldn't go out and find a whole lot of papers that would, you know, necessarily support it.
You're selling me on it right
behind
now.
Them is,
but is it anecdotal? Are you finding anecdotal? I can't say that word. Anecdotally, is that a word, that it works?
Absolutely. Clinically, some of these products do work really well.
Okay.
And so that's why you know, depending on the client and the horse, how far along the arthritis is and how much they have to invest kind of in treating that, then that sort of guides me as to which therapy I'd recommend to them and which we might try and then
so
go from there.
Say my horse does a tendon or has a suspensory ligament issue, you would recommend these same things so it doesn't just have to go in a joint, it can go into just a local area?
Sure, there are definitely things that are better suited to be put either into a joint or into a tendon. Okay. Some of that is operator dependent. You know, so some vets are very comfortable using one thing in one area and one thing in another. Stem cells are a pretty hot topic, you know, a pretty big area of research, and that's something that I'm more comfortable at and have used more commonly in a tendon, but there's certainly people that are using them in joints and stifle joints to help meniscus and things like that. And I think, you know, depending on your comfort level and where you're comfortable using them, yeah, they can be used in either area.
Well, I know I've had some success with Shockwave. I had a horse that constantly, you know, every time I'd get him ready and entered in a training level horse trial, he'd hurt himself. And finally, at the end, the third time he hurt his suspensories, we decided to Shockwave him and never looked back. You know, it strengthened him more than just the rest and the ice and the wrapping and the walking and all this stuff. We did. So in that situation, I felt like that really, you know, anecdotally, Glenn, worked for me. So this, you know, there's a lot of science.
A lot of research. Yeah. There's a lot of research in suspensories and I don't know if it was a forelimb. Forelimbs respond quite a bit better to rest and shockwave therapy than say a hind limb. And we know that. And I do, I think it has a lot of good things and it's really good, honestly, just increasing sort of the body's focus on one area. It increases blood flow there. And I think, you know, the body is very good at healing itself, but sometimes I think it gets a little bit lazy about focusing on one area. And shockwave can help that.
That's actually really well put. It gets lazy on this area, so shockwave. So explain to people what shockwave does do.
So it basically creates a pressure wave or a pulse. I don't know if when they did it to your horse, if they ever put it on you. It actually, I'm surprised that horses stand still. It does give a bit of a sting.
He didn't. He didn't like it very much. No. And it hurt my hand, too.
After you treat them. Yeah. It does. You know, initially after you use it, honestly, after you treat a horse, kind of in the first 4 hours to up to and out to about 4 or 5 days, it's actually just a numbing effect on the area. So if there is a painful area, just shockwaving it can make the horse feel better. We're not 100% sure how that works, but that starts. But where it works best is in areas where tissue changes. So where a soft tissue, a ligament attaches onto bone. And as the pressure wave travels through that ligament into the bone, where it changes, you know, the type of tissue, it actually releases energy. And that energy release causes kind of an increase in temperature, an increase in the amount of heat that's there. And that leads to increased blood flow to the area. The cells start working a little bit faster because of the increased heat. And you can see, actually, blood vessels will start to form in that area too. So it's that's why I like to think it sort of focuses the body and says, hey, this is the area where you need to pay attention to and get some more anti-inflammatory mediators and stem cells to that area.
So increased blood flow increases healing, I guess, is that true?
Yeah, because that's how the different cells in the body get anywhere is through your blood flow.
Now,
and so to get the healing cells where they need to be, that's the best way to do it. It's also the principle behind if you kind of heat something up or some people old-fashioned blisters, things like that. I don't know if you've heard of those things. It just increases blood flow to that area.
Yes, I did hear of that when I worked at Keeneland on the track. A lot of people still blister horses. I'm like, what are you doing? Say a horse with just a very simple, because this is so common, to pop a splint. And he's a little bit lame and he's got a little bit of swelling, but it's not massively terrible. What would you suggest for just a common splint bone injury?
Yeah. you know, initially that's inflammation that you actually want to decrease. So the body is actually trying too hard to repair a little strain of, it's actually between the splint bone itself and the cannon bone. So you actually want to quiet that down. So that's something initially I would ice and use Bute or Surpass topically to try to get to quiet down,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to using, you know, one of these other therapies.
Okay. So this is like the opposite of things, you know, like you want to sweat it and get all the fluid out of there and give him Bute. Okay. Glenn, can you think of any more injuries you have questions about?
No,
Jennifer?
Jennifer?
Are we still thinking, because you've got all these new sciences to play with, like simple hock injections, because I know you guys do most of this stuff with sport horse owners. Are people reconsidering hock injections, or are they, is the hyaluronic acid and some steroid kind of still the way to go, or are people PRPing hock joints?
Yeah. So it's, that's kind of the future of it, I guess. We know that long-term steroids actually cause damage to the joints that we're injecting.
Right.
You know, they definitely do such a good job of reducing pain and inflammation in there, but they also cause longer term damage to the cartilage. And so long term, they're not the best thing for joint health. So that's why we look at products like IRAP or the ProStride, because they don't have those same long term effects in the joint, but hopefully have it at least as good, if not better, anti-inflammatory effects. So I think that will be the future of it for sure. But at this point, it can be hard for people just because of the cost difference between.
Reason number 47 to insure your horse is that you can have this available. That's how I pay for the shockwave, so I get it.
Yeah. And to me, long term, it's going to be cheaper to treat your horse with something that's not going to have long term effects. But that can be hard when you're faced with the type of bills you can be faced with.
Good point. Well, Dr. Barrett, of course, you guys can go visit haggard.com, HAGYARD.com, and check out Dr. Barrett and all the great work they're doing over there. And Dr. Barrett, we hope you don't get any Southern Hemisphere breeding distortions.
Much appreciated.
Thanks, Dr.
I didn't even think about Southern Hemisphere. It's crazy. You can do anything these days.
I try all right. not to think about it. But
Get bye, some Dr. sleep, Barrett. Dr. Barrett.
Right. Have a good
day. You too. Bye. Haggard.com. Gosh, they just, the people they hire there are just, they've forgotten more about horses than all of us put together remember, you know?
And I think what's interesting too is there's so many treatments now for something that 25 years ago, there would have been maybe one, and it wasn't very good.
No, I worked on the track, like she was saying, when we worked on the track and the horses popped a splint or they had sore shins, what they would do is, he told me, I remember sitting there going, all right, just paint this on it and wrap them up. And I was like, what is this? They're like, it's a blister. Like, why? What? That sounds like it would hurt. Yeah, it was blister. Brings the blood to the area. You know, now they have so much better ways. Like,
we're not what? We're not using leeches anymore?
Yeah, right? I take this wrap off and the horse's hair is gone. Why is that? We're healing them. Like, no, you're not. But now it's like, that. I just, hopefully that's, those archaic practices are almost gone, you know, because now they've got all these better ways to do it. So
I like that she was so honest too about, you know, she talked about there not being studies, and then we asked her, yeah, but does it work?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, well, I've seen it work. So it's like, do we need a study then? It's like, study show, you know, it's working. Do we really need to spend $10 million to determine that it's working?
Nope. Guess not.
Well, we do appreciate her being on, and Haggard, of course. And, you know, we love all of our sponsors, and Ovation is one of our terrific sponsors. You know, the holidays are coming up faster than you think. I just looked at the calendar again because we're getting ready for Radiothon. It's like, oh my God, it's coming in no time. But we talk about the helmets all the time that they have at Ovation, but they also have all kinds of accessories, belts, breeches, footwear, gloves. They have saddles, is something that we don't don't talk about too often that Ovation does, but they have the Ovation line of saddles, which is very, very popular. And you can see all of the different options with saddles. They have the, you know, close contact. They have jumping saddles. They have all-purpose saddles. Just check out the Ovation line of saddles when you get a chance at ovationriding.com. But they also have show coats and shirts. And the cool thing about Ovation products is they're affordable. You know that from buying all the helmets and things you've bought over the years from Ovation. We have a lot of our listeners and auditors that love the Ovation breeches, and I see those promoted all the time. You see these things at almost every tack shop across the country. We want you to head on out and take a look at the different lines of Ovation products. Try them on. See what fits, see what doesn't fit. You also have gloves and footwear. We can't forget that, you know, I wear the country boots. I wear those almost every day because every day it's wet here in Florida. So I wear the country boots. I know a lot of you out there also have the country boots that you wear. So check them out at ovationriding.com, and you can find out where to buy on the website there. They have all the dealers listed as well as online dealers too. Ovation Riding. Well, right after this word from Haggard, I'm going to play for everybody out there. If you, and new listeners will not have heard this yet.
Oh, we gotta go to the bathroom. I'll be
this
right back.
This is Marianne Kennedy's song, Barn Cat.
Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky and Wellington, Florida has been treating racehorses, sport horses, and beloved pasture ornaments for 140 years. With some 30 ambulatory doctors, 24-hour emergency care, full surgical suite, dedicated sport horse facility, wide range of proven therapies, and full-service pharmacy, Haggard offers everything your horse needs for the proper diagnosis and best treatment. Visit Haggard.com for more information, or you can call them at 859-255-8741. Follow Haggard Equine Medical Institute on Facebook or on Twitter at Haggard and receive health alerts and the latest information on keeping your horse healthy and happy.
I'm a barn cat, not an alley cat, or a house cat. I don't sit in laps. I got a real job. I catch mice. It's a tough life. I'm a barn cat. This is my territory. Bow wells, look out. I got sharp claws and a king size bed made out of straw. So glad I'm a barn cat. Yeah. I got a stalls, and I stalk them all. Don't need a litter box. I got a round pen, 60 foot of sand. Yeah, I'm a barn cat. Barn cat. Meow. This is my territory. Bow wells, look out. I got sharp claws and a king size bed made out of straw. I'm so glad I'm a barn cat. Yeah, yeah. so glad I'm a barn cat. Yeah, 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 yeah. I got a real job. It's a tough life. I'm a bum
MarianneKennedy.com is where you can find all of her music. Jamie, are you with us? Do I need the resuscitation paddles? Are you there?
That's the longest song ever.
It's only 4 minutes, believe it or not. But hey, do you know what... by the way, you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And we're here Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Mary Kitzmiller is going to be here tomorrow doing her thing. So, and of course, really bad ads on Friday. So get your ads in. Jennifer needs a few. So get out there to Craigslist, start looking, and send your audio ads in. You get entered twice in the drawing. And we have a great prize for this month. We'll announce that on Friday. And we're also going to pick the winner of last month's prize, which we never, ever got to. So we're going to do that as well. Did we ever pick the winner?
Right. I don't think we did.
No, I don't think we did either. Do you know the New York Comic Con's going on right now? And action figures for Comic-Con fans are a huge thing. Did you see what the hottest selling, like sold out in minutes? They had to do a lottery because there were so many people that wanted to buy these. And they sold out in minutes. Do you know what the action figures are that sold out in minutes at Comic-Con?
I'm afraid to ask.
Does the names Rose, Dorothy, Blanche, and Sophia mean anything to you?
God love them. The Golden Girls.
The Golden Girls action figures sold out faster than Batman, sold out faster than any of the Star Wars stuff. Golden Girls action figures are the hot seller. They immediately went on sale on eBay after they sold out, and they are up to $180 to $200 a set.
That's awful nice of my brother to spend that much on him. Seriously, my brother has an obsession with B. Arthur.
Oh, really?
So, yes. I actually got him a t-shirt last year for Christmas, and it had a big picture of B. Arthur, and the caption underneath it was Thug Life.
I thought only my mothers watched Golden Girls. My mother loved Golden Girls. My dad would not watch it, but my mother loved Golden Girls.
Yeah, your mother and my brother. It's weird. I don't know. This is not the brother who was in the hurricane. So
both of my brothers
are weird. So,
well, Target got a few thousand copies too. It wasn't only a Comic-Con. Target ended up with a few thousand copies. They sold out in less than 24 hours.
What are you going to do with this?
I don't know. Is this even on reruns anymore, Golden Girls?
I don't know. We don't watch those channels in this house.
I thought the South was the only place that watched Golden Girls, but apparently not.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, there's my news story of the day. I was reading that going, are you kidding me? Golden Girls?
Are you sure you're not being punked, Glenn?
No.
You should check that.
It's true.
Snopes.com.
Well, you know,
Snopes.com says so.
Hipsters are into strange things. You know, the hipsters are really into strange things. Things that you would not expect. Speaking of hipsters, let's give Victoria from Horse and Country TV a call here.
She's a hipster, is she?
No, I was just kidding. I don't. If she's a hipster, she's the cutest accent ever for a hipster. I'm going to try and get her on the line here. Victoria, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Victoria. Good morning.
Good morning to you guys.
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being here. What's going on over there at Horse and Country TV and in your life?
We've just finished Horse of the Year show, which is good, but I didn't make it up this year, but I was covering remotely, so lots of great classes and good results.
Are they not letting you out of the office anymore? They're locking you in?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. There's no escape.
Well, what's going on with you personally over there?
Just trying to control my wild puppy, and I took my dog to meet my horse for the first time today. I'm not sure what either of them thought about this. But they were quite sweet together. There was lots of nose sniffing and and a bit of like skeptical looking. So they didn't kill each other, which is good.
Well, that's good. It's always nice when you don't have one killing the other.
Yeah.
And your puppy's like, what, 3 months old? Like, really?
Yeah, she's really young and she's so dinky at spoke. She's a Jack Russell, so she's tiny. And my horse is 17 hands, so she's definitely not tiny. Yeah.
Well, now, are you going to be showing at all this fall?
Maybe. I've had quite a busy summer, so I'm not got lots planned at the moment, but we'll see. Maybe some show jumping and dressage over the winter.
Well, now, speaking of show jumping, there's this O'Connor guy back in the news again. Tell us about that.
Yes, now he was winning the leading show jumping of the year competition at Hoy's, which is the big Grand Prix on the final night, and it was a popular win, but he just beat John Whittaker by a fraction of a second, and it was such a good jump off. They did this ridiculous turn back to the second last fence, and some people just wouldn't even attempt it. They tried to go around the jump and just make up the time by going hell for leather, and they couldn't go clear. So this was a real masterclass in jumping against the clock.
And of course, he's from Ireland. It just seems like the Irish are kicking butt in jumping.
Yeah, they really are. So despite not having a team out in Rio, which was quite bizarre considering how successful they've been recently. But yeah, there's some really strong...
No, see, I think the Irish are different. I think they go where the money is.
Well, possibly, but there was obviously a huge furore involving Ciarán O'Connor because he was competing at the European Championships and somebody... a member of the arena party walked out in front of him and jumped out of the way at the last minute, and he knocked the next fence down. And so they tried to appeal and say that they should qualify for Rio because he got put off, and there was a huge big campaign about it, but they didn't get anywhere and they didn't get to have a team out in Rio. And they had one individual rider who's a great rider. I think he's based out in America, but he didn't get anywhere near the medals. And so it was a bit of a disappointing time for their show jumpers.
Well, again, but and all the other shows, they're winning all the money.
Yeah, true.
Let me just rephrase that. So now you also have, and of course, we're talking about the Horse of the Year show. And the Horse of the Year show for you guys is huge. I mean, this is a big show, big deal.
It is huge, and hundreds and hundreds of horses take part in it, and it's everything from showing to dressage, show jumping, scurry driving, pony club games. So it's a real big, mishmash of horsey events, and they have they've got displays as well, and sell out crowds. So it's a really popular. It's kind of like the scene is the end of the season party, basically, because the outdoor season's coming to an end. It's the first big indoor show of the season, so it's a real prized show to win at, and lots of people desperate to do well and pick up one of those prestigious championships that they all want to win.
And there is a little pony, right? A cob or a pony that took a title?
Well, they have the Supreme Horse of the Year and the Supreme Showing Pony of the Year. And they're the kind of all the championships from the showing classes go through to these finals. So it was a show cob that won the horse section, a beautiful one called Arcachel Blue, who is this amazing sort of blue and white roan. He's a beautiful coloured horse. And his rider, Alistair Hood, won 3 championships at Hoy, so he definitely had the best week out of everybody. And then the pony that won was the riding pony, and he was just this beautiful little pony called Litton Enterprise. He's just absolutely stunning. Show ponies are kind of like miniature riding horses. They're like little tiny thoroughbreds. They're very beautiful.
Actually, I'm looking at a picture of the girl that won with this show pony. Oh my God, it almost looks Hackney-ish.
Yeah,
this pony, right?
So cute.
It is so cute. That is a stinking cute pony.
Very cute.
She wouldn't have had to do anything but ride around on that stinking cute pony, and I'd have given her it. That's very cute. You can see a picture of that if you go to horseandcountry.tv. You can see a picture. But then let's not leave out the heavy horses. You know, we're doing a heavy horse episode here on Horses in the Morning, or Horses in the Morning every month. We do one episode a month. And last month, it was our most popular episode. There are a lot of people loving on draft horses nowadays. Well, they got a Clydesdale got some love, right, at the Horse of the Year show?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was the first time that they've ever had ridden heavy horses at Horse of the Year show. And so it was a Clydesdale that won it, and it won championship. It won champion, and everyone was very excited to see it. So that report has been really well read on our website. So I think people are fascinated to see heavy horses being ridden for a change instead of shown in hand. So the Clydesdale won ridden horse, and then there was the Shire Horse of the Year as well, who's really stunning. So you can check them out on our website too.
Yeah, they are stunning, and they are doing a lot more riding of them over here now, and they're very popular classes for spectators because, you know, they're just huge and fun to watch.
It's like, yeah, and you know, you get the flying feathers and the thundering hooves, and it's all quite dramatic. So it is like it does slightly confuse me because these horses are not really designed to be ridden breeds. They're designed to, you know, pull farm machinery or pull carts. And it is nice to see them doing something else, but it's still quite unusual seeing. And also the riders tend to look, as my mum would say, like a pea on a drum. even big tall riders can make it just look a bit small on these huge horses. But it's growing in popularity, so everybody else seems to love it.
It was so fun when we had our Percherons. We used to ride them, and you'd put somebody on who had never ridden a horse of that size, you know, 18-hand, 2,000-pound horse, and it was always funny to see him giggle, because that was the reaction that everybody had when they first rode a big draft horse like that, was giggling, because it's kind of like riding a recliner, you know?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah, so it was always fun to put new people on the draft horse. First of all, they get up there and they go, oh my God, because it's so high. And, you know, once they realize that they're probably the quietest horse you're ever going to ride, then they relax and actually have fun with it. And we had one that could jump little tiny jumps, but mostly he would just take them out and didn't care, you know, because...
Oh.
You know. A lot like Jamie's horses. Just take them out. I don't care. Just take it out. It doesn't bother me. Who put that there anyway? You've obviously put it my way. Well, Poe starts, right? This is Poe this weekend coming up?
Yeah, it is. So
everybody just quit and not... Why pay your entry fee? Michael Young's going to be there. Just why bother?
Exactly. I've had a press release from the FEI saying, can he start winning the next FEI Classic Series, which is obviously all the four-star events of the season. And yep, I'm sure he will. So, yeah.
And it's in his home country.
It's in France. Poe's in France.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Poe's in France. That's right. Yeah,
it's right next door. He sends an entry in. They should just in turn mail him the check.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you entered? Okay, here's your money for winning.
Now, have you been to Poe before?
I've been to visit in the height of summer, but I haven't been to the event there.
Is it? I'm sure it's a big event. A lot of spectators because the French get into that too. So.
I'm not sure if it's the same kind of league as badminton and Burley, which obviously get hundreds of thousands, but it is their four-star event, so I think they're very proud of it. And it's a beautiful place surrounded by mountains and greenery. It's very lovely.
Jennifer knows more about this, but they're seriously discussing putting a second four-star, and it looks like that might happen in 2018, putting a second four-star here in the United States.
Well, I saw something about two new events in Texas. Is this anything to do with it?
No, actually, there are a number of venues that are vying for it, including two here in Ocala.
Oh.
This is going to be a fall event because Rolex happens in the spring. Kentucky happens in the spring. So they're looking at a fall event.
All the way downs, baby. Yeah. West Coast.
Yeah, I don't think that was one of the options there, Jamie. But Florida was definitely an option. And there are two right here in Ocala, the Jockey Club and also Live Oak, where they have Chester Weber's 4,000-acre little property, where they have the I think it's a four-star CDE, the combined carriage event here in the United States. So, and that literally, by the way, we're rooting for either one of these because the one is 10 miles from our house and Live Oak is literally about 3 miles. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so either one is good for us. So let's hope it comes to Ocala. But their try-on, I think, is bidding and a couple of others too. So
you'll have all the event traffic on your doorstep.
Yes, yes. We're looking for hopefully another four-star here in the United States.
Oh, cool. That's great news.
And then Charlotte, what'd she do now?
Well, Charlotte was competing at Horse of the Year show, riding, Carl Hester's next top horse, apparently.
Carl likes to hand his horses off to Charlotte, doesn't he?
He really does, yeah. And I'm not quite sure why, but he, I don't know if you've seen, but we've got an interview with Carl on our website as well at the moment, and it's basically him talking a little bit more about Vallegro's retirement and what's going to happen on the Olympia when they retire him, and why he's chosen to retire him when he's still relatively young. And he did say, like, don't worry, British dressage is in safe hands, because we've got my... a horse, I still can't pronounce it. And Charlotte's got a horse called Freestyle, which is going to be confusing when it starts winning Grand Prix Freestyle. And yeah, he says that they've got ones waiting in the wings that could just be a special. So fingers crossed that we're not going to disappear from medal contentions
anytime soon. We're going to be here from Charlotte for a long time.
I hope so. I mean, she's obviously talented, and they won so many national championships between them and our British Dressage Championships last month. So hopefully they've got enough good horses coming up the grades.
Very good. Anything else?
There's not a lot else going on. No, we're getting into quiet season. So, yeah, now that Horse of the Year is over, we've got nothing now until Olympia. So... might do some sleeping, catch up after a busy summer.
You might have time to play with your horse.
Yeah, that would be nice.
For a change. Well, thank you so much, Victoria. Of course, Victoria is with horseandcountry.tv. Go over there and check out all of the programming. There's a lot of free stuff there, too. So even if you don't get horseandcountry.tv, you can go watch all of the free videos that are on there. And there are a bunch of them. So I thought you were going to say, for a Christmas present, we're announcing Horse and Country TV is coming to the United States. Yay! Thank you, Victoria.
Still no
promise you. Let Victoria make you a promise right now.
Okay.
She will lead with that story.
Yes.
If it happens.
I promise I will.
She's going to pick up and be like, yeah, it's Victoria. I'm here. And then you're going to go, how's it going? She's going to be like, oh my God, Glenn, let me just tell you right now, you're going to get the show. The channel.
I'm not sure what's more unlikely, me turning into a Cockney royal. Cockney Royal, or us going to America. If either of those things happens, you will be the first to know about it.
Well, Victoria, I don't understand what you mean. This is just the way that I talk.
That's the only British accent she has. I mean, there's no delineation on dialects or anything. That's it. That's what you get.
This is how I speak Australian.
Yeah, it is true. And New Zealand. That's her New Zealand accent as well.
Hey, this is Canadian.
And now that we've insulted four countries, thanks a lot, Victoria.
Thank God.
You're welcome. Great to talk to you.
All right, see ya. Is there anybody else you want to insult this morning?
Right. Absolutely. That's what I do.
I have a really crappy story for you. And I don't know.
Do you want to end with a crappy story or just like a good story?
This is a good, it's a crappy story with a good ending.
Okay.
We haven't talked about a rescue story in a while.
Oh no.
So this is in England. That's what reminded me of it. So they do have.
Do you want me to do the story in my British accent?
No, we don't. There were a couple horses, and they don't say it here, but they look like gypsy horses that were, you know, the gypsies have been known to leave their horses just wander around in people's properties to eat. It's been a big problem in England and Ireland.
Fly
and
grazing,
Scotland,
we
and,
call it.
Yeah. Well, these two young, look like yearlings, decided to take a walk in this farmer's field near Tilbury. And ended up stuck. And what they ended up stuck with in was a sewage drain. Now, it's like this pond, and I don't quite know why there's a sewage river flowing through this person's property. That was one of the things that stuck out to me. And it looks like thick mud, but it's like sewage. Kind of, you know, your brother's situation, only in the middle of a field. Well, these two got stuck with only their noses sticking out of this stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
It took them hours to get the straps around these horses and rescue them. And God bless the firefighters who jumped in the sewage to get these two horses out. They have not found the owners, and that's why, you know, they didn't say it in the article, but pretty much they look like gypsy horses. But they got them out after 2 hours in the sludge. Ugh. Can you imagine?
Wait, Are there pictures of this? Yes. I'm going to find this.
Yes, I have a link to it in the bottom there in the article. And it's pretty much just black goop. By the way, what does that smell like with that running through your property? That was the part of the story, not the horse rescue, but the fact that there is this sludge river running through these people's property.
This can't be healthy.
No, it can't be healthy. Oh.
But I mean, this is like, people could get trapped in this thing.
Yes. It's like quicksand of poopy sludge. There's my appealing story for the day. Hey, I have a better one from England. And then I know you have a couple too. I have a better one from England. And that is, do you remember the Wilbury Wonder Pony story?
Refresh my memory.
Okay. So we had Hannah Francis, who was an event rider who came down with bone cancer. And she started this foundation to help raise money called Wilbury Wonder Pony to help raise money for bone cancer research. And she died, if you remember right, not too long ago. She died of the cancer. And it's been a huge push in England to raise money for the Wilbury Wonder Pony Foundation. It's their version of a 501c3. It's a charitable foundation. Well, they, and if I could get the darn ads out of the way, I could tell you about this story. They are doing a fundraiser with riders, and mostly it looks like event riders at this point are taking part. They're doing a fundraiser, and what the fundraiser is, you raise money, and instead of doing a walk or a run like they do, 5Ks and all that stuff, they are doing a skydive.
What?
So you sign up. There are 40 jumping places available. You'll go down with a skydiving instructor, you know, attached like you do when you do your first dive. But you're signing up, you raise money, and then they're doing this as kind of a mass skydive event in England. So my question is, to raise money and do good for charity, would you go skydiving?
No.
I thought that would be your answer.
I'll donate my spare change when I'm getting out of the bed. No, I'm not skydiving. I bless all those people that do, but I'll find other ways to be charitable. Like, I don't need to. Yeah, no.
Yeah, mostly I would do it. Yes. I do want to do it. It's on my bucket list, skydiving.
Really?
Yeah, but with a guy, you know. Obviously, they don't let you do it alone until you go down with tandem with the instructor a few times. But yeah, I would definitely try skydiving. And it's being run at the Army Parachute Association. So
I don't even know you anymore. Who am I talking to on this?
I would definitely
right
try that. Yep.
What'd you do with Glenn?
I would definitely try that. Yep. So that's a fundraiser. I thought that would be your answer.
I was like, is this a real? Did he just pose that question to me? Is that real? Is he talking? Hello?
Jennifer, post on Facebook our question of the day. Would you go skydiving for charity? And I will send you the link to put in there. So, or I'll post it after the show. I can just do it after the show and I'll post the link.
I donate at the office.
I'm going to hire a substitute like those fancy schmancy people did during the Civil War.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I would do that.
You need a stunt double, Jamie.
I would get a stunt double.
I'm afraid to do that wind tunnel thing that you just sit there and do.
Oh, yeah, that looks like fun, too.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
You don't do zip lines either, I'm assuming.
I love zip lines.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I'm not falling.
Well, you're sort of...
You're just hanging.
Zipping.
I thought I did in Hawaii. I thought I'd be nervous, and I ended up loving it, so...
A zip lining is fun. Jennifer won't do the zip line.
When you're strapped in, you're
ziplining is really not all that different than going cross country for the first time on an OTTB. They're very similar.
You're right. That's probably why I liked it. Yeah. I have a fun news story. I don't know where I found this at all, but if you go to leg-up.org, there's a raffle. And it is not just a raffle. So there's an organization called Leg Up Equestrian Assistance Program. And it is a, therapeutic riding, I believe. And Avalon Equine has once again this year generously donated one of their spectacular warm blood foals to Leg Up as a fundraiser. And you can buy a raffle ticket for this filly. Her name is Poison Ivy de Avalon, and she is by the Oldenburg Stallion Manhattan out of one of Avalon Equine's best warm blood broodmares, and the Hanoverian by a Hanoverian stallion. So, like, unbelievable pedigree, and this stinking foal is the cutest thing ever. It's going to be, I think, Rhineland is what it'll be registered as. And you can get a raffle ticket for $5 and walk home with like probably a $15,000, $20,000 foal. So you can check that out at leg-up.org. And I just think that's great that they donate a foal to help equestrians. Basically, it's a leg up is to help equestrians and equines suffering from catastrophic events, illness, accidents, injuries, or in situations that they just can't help themselves. So really cool organization. And how cool of Avalon to donate a foal.
And I'm sure that you did not buy any raffle tickets.
I got my own baby coming in 3 months.
Is it only 3 months away?
It on the 15th, Glenn. In 3 days, it will be 3 months till her due date.
Oh, wow.
Right? That's I thought I'd have like an April baby. I didn't know she'd get pregnant so fast and easy. Not prepared. Sleeping in a barn.
That is pretty fast.
Yeah, but she got pregnant February 9th. She got pregnant on like her first heat of the season, which never happens. This mama is, and she is so big, bless her heart. And then I think like 60% of the foal grows in the last 3 months. And I'm like, how are you going to fit it? There's no more room in there. Bless your heart.
It's amazing how big. And we always thought when ours got pregnant, we always thought, oh, they got to be having this baby any day. You know, we're a month out, but it just looks like they just have to have this baby or they're not going to make it. It's so big. It's incredible. So that was leg-up.org, right?
Yeah. Cute, stinking little baby.
Go to full raffle on there and you can get your raffle ticket. It is a cute baby.
It is.
What color is that baby? Is it going to end up being a bay?
It looked, from the younger pictures, chestnut, right?
Yeah.
And then it looked bay as it got a little bit older. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe there's two of them.
It was born a sandy color and then, it looks kinda almost bay.
Yeah, it got more bay. Hey, there's also a story on Horse Nation, and we all love a good proposal story. Well, Ashley Snell shared her story with Horse Nation on how she proposed to her girlfriend. And this is so cool. So Marissa and Ashley are going into the indoor riding arena because one of their friends is a new photographer and is going to do a free photo shoot just to like boost her, portfolio. Thank you. There you go. So Ashley and Marissa go into the barn and Ashley has the two horses and Marissa realizes that there's a new halter on her horse and she reads the halter and the nameplate, the brass nameplate on the halter says, "Will you marry me?" And Marissa turns around and Ashley has trained her horse, her gelding Absolute, to go down and bow on one knee. And Marissa turns around and Ashley and Absolute are bowing down on one knee and then I present her the ring and ask her to marry them. How cool is that? She said she spent 4 months. She said he truly loved the process because he got about 40 treats a day for 4 months. And the ring was hanging off the halter clip on the Will You Marry Me halter. Isn't that a great
Oh, that is story? Really cool.
So you can go to we can go to Horse Nation and you can see the photos because there was a photographer right there taking pictures, but they lied to her for no portfolio. It was for their wedding proposal. So it was really, really cool. And they get some beautiful pictures. And I was reading in the comments that Clover Hill Equestrian Center is so happy to have been a part of such a wonderful event. So that must be where it is. Clover Hill Equestrian Center. It's just adorable.
I'm just looking at the pictures now. The horse that appears to be about 17 and a half hands with the blaze is stunning.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I'm like, I want that one.
I was looking at that in a Quonset hut kind of arena. That's kind of an odd arena, isn't it?
It's one of those coverall arena
things. Oh, the
things.
Coverall ones? Yeah.
Yeah. Very. I think those are pretty neat. on the inside. I don't think they're great on the outside. But yeah, I think she proposed to, I think Ashley proposed to Marissa so she could become family with that horse.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, will you marry me? Cool. Give me that halter.
That is a stunning horse. Four white socks, a huge blaze, and stands at least 17 hands, at least.
Yeah. He's gorgeous.
Horse Nation comes up with all of these really cool stories. They really do.
Yeah, well, this was reader submitted too. She sent this in, so really neat. Hey, cool. Did you see the picture? I want to do a photo challenge to our listeners today. Did you see the picture of my student Abby with Joey doing
the selfie?
Is that not the greatest selfie of all time?
It was. Did you post that on our Horse in the Morning page yet?
I didn't, but maybe you guys can post that and just say selfie challenge. We want to see pictures of you and your horse because. To me, that was just like the greatest.
That is a great picture. I don't know. The horse seemed to be. If you saw that, you would think the horse was taking the picture.
I know.
That was a great picture. Yeah. If you could post that one on there, we'll do the selfie challenge then.
Okay. Sounds good.
That'd be good. All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you, everybody. We have Mary Kitzmiller tomorrow. And then, of course, Really Bad Ads is back on Friday. So get your ads in. And that's it for today. Of course, you can listen on our app. That's the easiest, simplest way to listen to our shows, iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you.
Spay, neuter, geld.
Or get a gelded one already. Barn cats.
Oh, God. Thanks for putting that song in my head. You had to do it.
I was going to play it out, but I thought you'd quit.
When you sing meow, just end the song. Really? Meow. Come on.